So, here's a question for you. What is the Lamb? And that's what I want you to be thinking about. We talked this morning about the Lamb and its significance, not just to the people of the Bible, but to us today. Okay? What is the Lamb? You know, the Bible talks a lot about sheep and about lambs and about goats. And did you know, for instance, that you're a goat or a sheep? See, it depends on which side of the auditorium you're sitting on. No, I'm just teasing. But you know, the Bible tells us and really shows us as being sheep. We belong to God, we are His sheep, and He is our shepherd. Amen. So there's a lot of really great things that the Bible tells us about sheep. And I think one of the greatest things that it tells us is the place of sheep or the lamb in our salvation. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. Okay? Let's talk about the lamb in biblical history. All right? The firstborn of the flock, the Bible tells us, was offered by Abel. And that's the first time that we know of that anyone offered a sacrifice like that to God. Now, the Bible does not give us any information or about any instructions that God gave to Adam and Eve and to their children concerning offering of sacrifices. But I think it's very reasonable for us to assume that God did give some kind of instructions, because what we see in the Scriptures, in the story of Cain and Abel, is that Abel offered a sacrifice that was acceptable to God, and Cain, his brother, did not. Well, how can something be unacceptable if you don't have any instructions? You see? So there must have been some kind of instructions that God had given to them. And part of those instructions likely included this part right here, that Abel also brought an offering, and notice that it was fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock, okay, that Abel offered as a sacrifice to God. Now, let me just mention, I won't charge anything extra for this morning, okay? Let me just mention this. There are those who teach that the reason that Cain's offering was not acceptable was because it was an offering of the fruit of the harvest of the fields and rather than an animal sacrifice, and that's not likely true. It wasn't a matter of the animal versus the food offering. It was a matter of the heart. You say, because the Bible tells us that Abel offered the fat portions and the firstborn, but Cain offered some. And that's a significant word in that story. He just brought some of what he had. And that's why it wasn't acceptable to God. But we see for the first time in terms of sacrifices being made that we see the lamb. Okay, the firstborn of Abel's flocks being offered as a sacrifice. The law of the sacrifices under the law of Moses required that lambs be used among other things. But here's some specific things that we need to be aware of. God specifically instructed them that the animals you choose must be year-old males without defect. Amen. And you may take them from the sheep or the goats. Okay? So you couldn't just go and just grab a lamb and look at one and go, yeah, this one ain't much good for anything else. I'll use it as a sacrifice. Oh, no. That was not acceptable to God. It had to be of the best that they had. Okay? Now let's talk about this part of the lamb in history, Isaac. In Genesis chapter 22, we find the story where God had commanded Abraham to take his son Isaac and to offer him as a sacrifice. Here's what he says. Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love. Does any of that sound familiar? You say, only son, the one that he loves. He offered him as a sacrifice. And go to the region of Moriah, sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about. You ever stopped and wondered what Abraham must have been thinking as he traveled? He took some of his servants with him, and he took Isaac, and they set off to go to where God would show them where he wanted to be, the sacrifice to be made. Have you ever just stopped and wondered what he must have been thinking about? This is my son, my only son, and I love him. And yet God is commanding me to take his life. But wait a minute. He's the son of the promise. And so the writer of Hebrews tells us, well, at least one thing Abraham was thinking. He says, Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead. And figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. Okay? So Abraham with his servants and Isaac traveled to the place that God had told them when they got to the base of the mountain. Okay? He told the servants to stay there and wait. It's interesting because Abraham, knowing what God had told him to do, says to his servants, stay here and wait, and we will return. Okay? Meaning himself and Isaac. But here's another interesting part of this story. Look at what it says. Servants remain there, and Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife, and the two of them walked on together. So one of the interesting things about this is that we see Isaac carrying the wood on which he would be sacrificed as a type of Christ, carrying his own cross to Calvary. Isaac says to his father, my father, he said, here I am, my son. Then he said, look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? You see, Isaac knew, you're going to go and offer a sacrifice, you got to have a lamb. You say, so where's the lamb? And Abraham said to him, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. And the two went on together. Notice this again here. Look at what it says. God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. You see, the sacrifices were for God. And God would provide what was necessary for him. And didn't he do that with Jesus?
Amen.
He provided for himself the lamb, see, that was necessary to be sacrificed for our sins.
Amen.
And what God did was he provided a substitute lamb. And I want you to just kind of really key in on that word substitute. Okay? Because they went up there and Abraham bound Isaac and put him on the altar that he had made and was ready to take his life, and an angel came and appeared to him and stopped him. Okay? You ever wondered? Ever wondered about Isaac in that moment? And, you know, I'm just, as I have on here, I bet Isaac never forgot the fact that God provided a substitute lamb for the offering. Because after the angel stopped Abraham, he looked over and there in the thicket was a ram that was caught by its horns. And he took that ram and he offered it as a sacrifice in place of Isaac. God provided that substitute. You see, the angel told Abraham, "Now I know that you would not withhold your son, your only son, from me." A substitute that God provided. I bet Isaac was grateful all his life for that substitute. You see? Okay, here's two questions I want you to think about. All right? First one is, what can we learn from the sacrifice of the lamb under the law? And there's a lot of different things. I just want you to be thinking about, what do you know about what the law says, and what can we learn from that? And secondly, what can we learn from the substitute sacrifice for Isaac? What does that have to do with us today? All right? Behold, the Lamb of God. All right? Get this thing to go here. You see, the reality is every single one of us, in a sense, is a type of Isaac. Now, Isaac was not being sacrificed because of his sins. Okay? But nonetheless, every single one of us is a type of Isaac because we sin and we deserve to die. Okay? But God has provided for us a way out. You see, the fact is, as Paul says, every single one of us has sinned. And we fall short of the glory of God. So we're guilty. And not only that, but the punishment is death. The wages of sin, Paul said, is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. I like the gift. How about you? You see? And the reason that we get the gift is because there was a substitute. If we got what we deserved, that's you and me, okay? You and me, we and us, we-ums, we-as, you know, all of us together, we're all guilty. And if we got what we deserved, we would die. Spiritually, we would be sent to hell. But God provided a substitute for us. Okay? We, like Isaac, are bound by sin and ready to die. Without a substitute, we would die in our sins. And there it is again, a substitute. Okay? And that substitute for us was Jesus Himself. The only Son of God. The Son He loved. That He gave as a sacrifice for us. In our place. Not just for us, but in our place. Alright? John the Baptist, when he saw Jesus approaching on one occasion, said to his disciples, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Now, the interesting thing about John's statement is that in the Hebrew, okay, the Greek that it's written in, the Hebrew, it's the same language. It's the same language that Abraham used when he spoke to his son as they were going up the mountain. And he talked about the sacrificial lamb of God's providing. That's literally what it says. Behold, the sacrificial lamb of God's providing. Pointing to Jesus. Okay? Now, this was at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry. When John pointed him out to his disciples that this is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, the time was just before the Passover. Right? And we see that Jesus, and what John was really saying is, he's the substitute for us. All right? So in other words, Jesus died in our place for our sins. Again, it's not that he just died for us. He died in our place. And that's significant for us to really understand. In other words, it should have been me on that cross. It should have been you on that cross. But instead, Jesus took our place. All right? Peter writes, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness, and by his wounds you have been healed. Peter writes in chapter 3, Christ died for sins once for all, and look at this, the righteous for the unrighteous. To bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit. Okay? If there had been no lamb, we would have had to die in our sins. If there had been no substitute, we would have to die. The text that was read for us as we began this morning is, I think it's a pretty powerful text when you really look into what it's saying here. From Revelation chapter 7. Then one of the elders asked me, these in white robes, who are they and where did they come from? And then he answers and said to them, sir, you know. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white. Where? In the blood of the Lamb. Okay? The blood of the Lamb. His sacrifice. His blood for ours. All right? Three Passovers later. One Passover, John points to Jesus, says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Three Passovers later, this time, it was at the end of Jesus' ministry. And notice some events that take place. The sacrifice was being offered. Okay? You are probably familiar with the story of Simon of Cyrene, who was forced to carry the cross of Jesus. I want to read to you a section out of Terry Bell's book, Watch the Lamb. Just listen to me for a moment. He says, from the time John the Baptist made his announcement, look, the Lamb. Three Passovers would be observed before the Lamb of God was sacrificed. Ray Bolts puts it very dramatically in his song, Watch the Lamb. As he depicts Simon of Cyrene entering Jerusalem with his two small sons on that last Passover carrying their lamb. Walking on the road to Jerusalem, the time had come to sacrifice again. My two small sons, they walked beside me on the road. The reason they came was to watch the Lamb. Daddy, Daddy, what will we see there? There's so much we don't understand. So I told them of Moses and Father Abraham, and I said, dear children, watch the Lamb. For there will be so many in Jerusalem today, we must be sure the Lamb doesn't run away. And I told them of Moses and Father Abraham, and I said, dear children, watch the Lamb. We reached the city, and I knew something must be wrong. There were no joyful worshipers, no joyful worship songs. I stood there with my children in the midst of angry men, and then I heard the crowd cry out, crucify him. We tried to leave the city, but we could not get away. Forced to play in this drama a part I did not want to play. Why upon this day were men condemned to die? Why were we standing here where soon they would pass by? I looked up and said, even now they come. The first one cried for mercy. The people gave him none. The second one was violent. He was arrogant and loud. I still can hear his angry voice screaming at the crowd. Then someone said, there's Jesus. And I could scarce believe my eyes. A man so badly beaten, he barely looked alive. Blood poured from his body, from the thorns upon his brow, running down the cross and falling on the ground. I watched him as he struggled, watched him as he fell. The cross came down upon his back. The crowd began to yell. In a moment, I felt such agony. In a moment, I felt such loss. Until a Roman soldier grabbed my arm and said, you carry his cross. At first, I tried to resist him. Then his hand reached for his sword. And so I knelt down and took the cross from the Lord. I placed it on my shoulder and started down the street. The blood that he'd been shedding was running down my cheek. They led him to Golgotha. They drove nails deep in his feet and hands. And yet upon the cross I heard him say, Father, forgive them. Oh, never have I seen much love in such love in any other eyes. Into thy hands I commit my spirit. And then he died. I stood for what seemed like years. I'd lost all sense of time until I felt two tiny hands holding tight to mine. My children stood there weeping. I heard the oldest say, Father, please forgive us. Our lamb just got away. Daddy, Daddy, what have we seen here? There's so much we don't understand. So I took them in my arms, we turned and faced the cross, and I said, dear children, watch the Lamb. Watch the Lamb. Today, traditionally, is a day when we celebrate. People all over the world, as I mentioned earlier, are celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. If it had not been for the resurrection, the death would have been for nothing. Because it's in his resurrection that Jesus overcame death. And that's something to celebrate, amen?
Amen.
But here's something I want you to think about. Okay? Do you know what the Lamb is really all about? And even more importantly than that, have you let him take your place on the altar? I want you to think about that. We have a song that Tom has chosen for us to use as an invitation song. And it's an opportunity for anyone to let us know, is there something that you have a need going on in your life, a prayer request that you'd like us to address. And for anyone who's not yet a Christian, to have the opportunity to become one. If you're not a Christian, and this goes for those of you who are worshiping with us online also, if you desire to become a Christian, then it requires you to allow Jesus to take your place on the altar. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that he came to be a substitute for your sins? And are you ready to make him Lord of your life? If you are, then call upon him as your Lord. Repent of the sin that is separating you from God and have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. And you can do that right now. All you got to do is come and let me know. For those of you who are worshiping with us online, if you have a prayer request, Wesley's number, and I think mine is on there also. You can text us during this song with a prayer request, and we will address that. And if there's anyone there out there who is not yet a Christian, you desire to become one, all you got to do is let us know, and we will make that happen as soon as is possible with you to respond in the same way. It's a great opportunity for anyone to let us know what we can do to serve you. Let's stand together and sing.